Introduction to Resonance Frequency Assessment. Resonance frequency assessment represents a key principle in heart rate variability, HRV, biofeedback, reflecting a confluence of physiological and physical principles. The concept of resonance, drawn from classical physics, refers to the natural frequency at which a closed-loop system with a fixed delay oscillates with maximum amplitude. This physical law applies not only to inanimate objects, such as tuning forks or swings, but also to biological systems, including the cardiovascular system. When stimulated at their intrinsic resonant frequencies, these systems exhibit amplified oscillations in variables such as heart rate and blood pressure. This lecture explores resonance frequency in the context of HRV biofeedback, focusing on how slow-paced breathing, SPB, and slow-paced contraction, SPC, protocols can stimulate baroreflex mechanisms to increase HRV. We will start by defining resonance and illustrating its relevance through practical analogies. We will explore the foundational theory of Vasculo's two closed-loop model, which frames the heart rate and vascular tone baroreflexes as independently targetable systems within HRV biofeedback. These baroreflex loops, when stimulated at their respective resonant frequencies, exhibit amplified regulatory effects. We will next explain how RSA acts as a direct parasympathetic driver of HRV and how alignment with respiratory cycles enhances this variability. Following this, the discussion examines how SBB and SPC stimulate resonance in these systems and compares their effectiveness. The subsequent sections will review the equipment used for resonance frequency assessment, emphasizing the advantages of ECG over PPG for accurate IBI detection, particularly under sympathetic load. The utility of the respirometer will be examined as essential for confirming adherence to prescribed breathing patterns. We will then evaluate non-respirometer-based methods such as mobile apps, highlighting both their accessibility and limitations. The exploration of SPC will follow, detailing its potential as a complementary and less respiration-dependent method for resonance frequency determination. Detailed protocols for implementing both SBB and SPC will be described, including the rationale behind pacing frequencies, artifact management, and data interpretation. Finally, the conclusion will synthesize the core findings, emphasize best practices for resonance frequency assessment, and underscore the importance of methodological rigor in translating resonance principles into clinical outcomes. By leveraging resonance to amplify physiological oscillations, practitioners can design personalized, effective HRV biofeedback protocols that promote autonomic flexibility and health. Resonance. Resonance is a process wherein a system with a feedback delay responds with maximum amplitude when driven at its natural frequency. This phenomenon has well-known manifestations in physical systems. For instance, striking one tuning fork causes another fork tuned to the same frequency to vibrate sympathetically. This sympathetic vibration exemplifies resonance and its ability to transmit energy across systems that share the same frequency. The amplified oscillation observed in this case is not coincidental. It reflects the precise matching of input frequency with the system's intrinsic delay-based rhythm. A second illustration is the sustained vibration of a bell after it is struck. The bell's physical properties, shape, material, and internal structure determine its natural frequency, which defines how long and at what pitch it will resonate. Similarly, pushing a child on a swing reveals the principle behaviorally. If the timing of the push matches the swing's natural frequency, the child gains height effortlessly. Any mismatch results in inefficient or dampened motion, emphasizing the necessity of phase alignment for effective energy transfer. Another striking example is the shattering of a wine glass exposed to sound at its resonant frequency. The glass accumulates vibrational energy until its structure fails, demonstrating the destructive potential of resonance when a system is overstimulated. These examples, while diverse, converge on the idea that systems oscillate maximally at intrinsic frequencies determined by their structure and feedback delays. Dr. Paul Lehrer has extended this concept to human physiology, where stimulation at cardiovascular resonant frequencies, RFs, produces amplified heart rate and blood pressure oscillations. Biological systems exhibit similar properties of resonance. In the human cardiovascular system, Stimulation at the correct frequency results in pronounced respiratory sinus arrhythmia, RSA, enhanced baroreflex gain, and increased heart rate variability, HRV. The HR baroreflex, in particular, behaves like a damped oscillator with a natural frequency around 0.1 Hz, or 6 cycles per minute. Understanding and applying this principle in clinical settings enables practitioners to harness physiological resonance for therapeutic benefits. Resonance thus bridges physics and physiology, providing a coherent framework for designing HRV biofeedback interventions. Moreover, resonance effects are specific and frequency-bound. This specificity necessitates precise assessment of individual RFs to achieve optimal training effects. Just as not every swing moves best at the same tempo, each person's cardiovascular system responds uniquely. Resonance frequency determination enables tailored interventions that capitalize on each individual's physiological profile. In this context, resonance is not just a metaphor, but a literal mechanism by which biological systems can be modulated for health and performance. In summary, resonance is a foundational mechanism underpinning the physiological amplification seen in HRV biofeedback. By matching the stimulation frequency to a system's resonance frequency, practitioners can elicit maximal oscillatory responses, enhancing autonomic flexibility. This principle, well documented in physical systems, finds direct applicability in stimulating the HR and VT baroreflexes, which is the subject of subsequent sections. Vasculo's 2 closed loop model. Vasculo's 2 closed loop models offer a mechanistic explanation for how specific HRV biofeedback protocols can selectively target and enhance autonomic reflexes. In this model, the cardiovascular system comprises two independently operating yet interlinked feedback circuits, the heart rate baroreflex and the vascular tone baroreflex. Each of these baroreflexes regulates different aspects of cardiovascular control heart rate and vascular resistance, respectively through delayed negative feedback. Their distinct resonance frequencies enable selective activation through precisely timed external stimulation. The heart rate baroreflex operates at a resonance frequency of approximately 0.1 Hz or 6 cycles per minute. It modulates beat-to-beat heart rate changes in response to acute fluctuations in blood pressure. The delay within this system is approximately 5 seconds, mainly due to the inertial effects of circulating blood volume. When respiration or muscle contraction is paced at this frequency, heart rate oscillations are amplified, leading to increased baroreflex gain and HRV. The vascular tone baroreflex, by contrast, operates at a slower resonance frequency of approximately 0.03 Hz or 2 cycles per minute. It primarily regulates the diameter of resistance blood vessels, thereby influencing vascular tone and peripheral resistance. This reflex has a longer latency, around 15 seconds, due to the time it takes for the body to adjust vessel diameter and for these changes to influence systemic blood pressure. When stimulated at its resonance frequency, this reflex amplifies oscillations in vascular tone, contributing to long-term blood pressure regulation. Importantly, the two baroreflexes can be activated either separately or in concert, depending on the pacing frequency of the chosen HRV biofeedback protocol. Slow-paced breathing or contraction at around 6 cycles per minute primarily stimulates the heart rate baroreflex, while contraction at 2 cycles per minute targets the vascular tone baroreflex. When both reflexes are stimulated simultaneously, they can produce additive or even synergistic effects, greatly enhancing autonomic control and HRV. This dual-loop model provides clinicians with a conceptual and practical framework for designing HRV biofeedback protocols. It supports the selection of specific pacing rates to match the intended autonomic target and predicts the outcomes based on the physiological properties of each reflex. The model also highlights the importance of individualized assessment, as the exact resonance frequency may vary among individuals due to factors such as age, cardiovascular health, and respiratory patterns. In clinical applications, Vasculo's model has been instrumental in refining HRV biofeedback interventions. It emphasizes the role of feedback delay, resonance amplification, and closed-loop dynamics in governing autonomic regulation. This model remains one of the most robust frameworks for understanding how controlled breathing and muscle activity can be harnessed to optimize physiological functioning. As the field continues to evolve, this model will likely guide the development of even more precise and effective biofeedback methodologies. Respiratory sinus arrhythmia. Respiratory sinus arrhythmia is a core parasympathetic mechanism that drives short-term heart rate variability. It describes the rhythmic speeding and slowing of the heart rate in synchrony with the respiratory cycle. During inhalation, heart rate increases due to withdrawal of vagal tone, a parasympathetic brake on cardiac activity. During exhalation, this vagal brake is reapplied, causing the heart rate to slow. This respiratory-linked variability in heart rate is considered a biomarker of autonomic flexibility and parasympathetic strength. The mechanism underlying respiratory sinus arrhythmia is entirely parasympathetic and primarily mediated by the vagus nerve. The temporal sequence is consistent. As the lungs inflate, pulmonary stretch receptors signal a withdrawal of vagal tone, which speeds up the heart. About 5 seconds later, a drop in blood pressure typically follows. On exhalation, vagal tone returns, slowing the heart, with a corresponding increase in blood pressure occurring several seconds afterward. This delay is consistent with the latency in baroreflex responses and the inertia of the vascular system. When respiratory sinus arrhythmia is weak or absent, it may indicate poor parasympathetic regulation. Conditions such as anxiety, depression, and cardiovascular disease are often associated with reduced respiratory sinus arrhythmia. Conversely, strong respiratory sinus arrhythmia is predictive of emotional resilience, greater cognitive flexibility, and better cardiovascular health. As such, amplifying respiratory sinus arrhythmia through biofeedback is a desirable clinical goal. Slow-paced breathing at the individual's resonance frequency has proven to be the most effective way to achieve this. Amplification of respiratory sinus arrhythmia occurs when breathing is slowed to match the resonance frequency of the heart rate baroreflex. At this frequency, usually around 4.5 to 6.5 breaths per minute for adults, phase synchrony between respiration and heart rate is achieved. The peaks and troughs of the breathing waveform align with those of the heart rate waveform, maximizing oscillatory amplitude. This synchronization substantially increases baroreflex gain, heart rate variability, and the therapeutic efficacy of HRV biofeedback. The effects of enhanced respiratory sinus arrhythmia are immediate and measurable. Biofeedback displays often show heart rate oscillations increasing by 4 to 10 times within minutes of slow-paced breathing. These oscillations represent the successful stimulation of the heart rate baroreflex via respiratory inputs. However, the long-term strengthening of this reflex and increased vagal tone requires repeated practice over weeks or months. Still, the immediate changes in respiratory sinus arrhythmia serve as powerful feedback for the client and provide compelling evidence of physiological self-regulation. Clinically, monitoring respiratory sinus arrhythmia provides a real-time indicator of engagement and success in HRV biofeedback training. Devices equipped with respirometers and ECG sensors can visually depict the synchrony between breath and heart rate. This immediate feedback helps both clinician and client optimize training strategies and pacing rates. Ultimately, respiratory sinus arrhythmia serves as the primary and most responsive target of resonance frequency-based HRV interventions, linking respiratory behavior with cardiovascular health in a measurable and modifiable way. Slow-paced breathing and slow-paced muscle contraction stimulate Vascillo's two closed loops. Slow-paced breathing and slow-paced muscle contraction provide the two most effective ways to engage the physiological mechanisms underlying heart rate variability. These methods specifically target the resonance frequencies of the heart rate and vascular tone baroreflexes. By delivering stimulation at frequencies that match the intrinsic oscillatory properties of these baroreflexes, these protocols dramatically enhance the amplitude of heart rate fluctuations and overall parasympathetic activity. The result is an immediate increase in heart rate variability and baroreflex gain, followed by longer-term improvements in vagal tone and cardiovascular regulation with sustained practice. Slow-paced breathing at approximately 4.5 to 6.5 breaths per minute for adults aligns with the resonance frequency of the heart rate baroreflex. When a client breathes at their precise resonance frequency, respiratory sinus arrhythmia and baroreflex responsiveness are maximized. In practice, this results in a synchronization between the respiratory cycle and fluctuations in heart rate, creating large, rhythmic oscillations. These changes are easily observed using ECG and respirometer recordings, where heart rate peaks and troughs align with phases of inhalation and exhalation. The stronger the phase synchrony, the greater the resonance effects and the more substantial the health benefits. Slow-paced contraction represents a parallel method for stimulating the cardiovascular system. It involves rhythmically tensing and releasing muscle groups, typically the wrists, core, and ankles, at targeted frequencies. When performed at approximately 6 cycles per minute, these contractions stimulate the heart rate baroreflex, and at approximately 2 cycles per minute, they activate the vascular tone baroreflex. This method produces physiological outcomes comparable to those of slow-paced breathing, but it has several advantages for certain populations. Clients with dysfunctional breathing, chronic pain, or poor respiratory control often find slow-paced contraction easier to learn and maintain. The amplification effects of both methods are underpinned by resonance physics. When respiratory or muscular input matches the natural feedback cycle delay of a specific baroreflex, oscillatory amplitude increases. The heart rate baroreflex, with its shorter delay, is optimally stimulated at higher frequencies than the vascular tone baroreflex. Properly implemented, slow-paced breathing and contraction provide immediate training effects, measurable increases in peak-to-trough heart rate amplitude, low-frequency HRV power, and smoother HRV waveforms. These effects are not merely theoretical. They can be tracked session by session, providing clinicians and clients with quantitative evidence of progress. Although both methods engage the same physiological systems, they are not interchangeable in every context. Some clients may exhibit better phase synchrony or achieve greater HRV improvements with slow-paced contraction, particularly if respiratory pathology or difficulty with pacing hinders the effectiveness of slow-paced breathing. Conversely, clients with musculoskeletal limitations may find slow-paced contraction difficult or fatiguing, making slow-paced breathing a preferable modality. The choice between methods should be guided by individual assessment, clinical judgment, and empirical evidence from trial sessions. Together, slow-paced breathing and slow-paced contraction form a complementary toolkit for HRV biofeedback. Both rely on targeting resonance frequencies, but they do so via different input systems, respiratory and somatic. Their efficacy is grounded in the same physiological and physical principles, and both offer unique advantages. When selected and implemented appropriately, they enable practitioners to harness resonance, thereby maximizing autonomic regulation and supporting a wide range of therapeutic goals. Targeting the heart rate baroreflex. Targeting the heart rate baroreflex through resonance frequency stimulation involves aligning respiratory or muscular activity with the baroreflex's intrinsic oscillatory rhythm. The heart rate baroreflex operates with a delay of approximately 5 seconds, and its resonance frequency corresponds to around 6 cycles per minute in healthy adults. When stimulated at this frequency, the baroreflex responds with enhanced amplitude, producing significant oscillations in heart rate variability. This mechanism underlies the primary therapeutic value of slow-paced breathing and slow-paced contraction protocols in HRV biofeedback. Slow-paced breathing is particularly effective for engaging the heart rate baroreflex. When breathing is slowed to match the baroreflex's resonance frequency, typically between 4.5 and 6.5 breaths per minute, the respiratory cycle becomes phase-synchronized with heart rate fluctuations. This synchrony results in large peak-to-trough heart rate oscillations, which are easily visualized using real-time heart rate monitors and respirometers. The coherence between respiratory and cardiac rhythms significantly increases baroreflex gain, serving as a key marker of resonance. During the initial stages of HRV biofeedback training, many clients do not exhibit this synchrony. Respiratory patterns may be erratic or poorly timed relative to heart rate changes, which limits the effectiveness of training. With practice, however, slow-paced breathing can entrain the heart rate baroreflex, aligning heart rate accelerations and decelerations with inhalation and exhalation, respectively. This entrainment reflects a fundamental shift in autonomic control, marking the transition from novice to proficient performance in biofeedback. Slow-paced contraction provides an alternative route for targeting the heart rate baroreflex, particularly for individuals who cannot tolerate prolonged slow breathing. By contracting the wrists, core, and ankles in a rhythmic sequence at approximately 6 contractions per minute, clients stimulate the same reflexive mechanism. This approach bypasses respiratory limitations and directly leverages somatic input to produce synchronized heart rate oscillations. Biofeedback data confirm that peak-to-trough heart rate amplitudes and low-frequency power increase significantly during properly paced contraction protocols. Visual confirmation of baroreflex activation can be observed through real-time waveform displays. As clients perform slow-paced contraction, the instantaneous heart rate waveform becomes smoother and more sinusoidal, reflecting enhanced autonomic regulation. When paired with ECG and respirometer measurements, clinicians can verify the precise timing and impact of each contraction cycle. These visual tools not only guide training, but also validate the resonance effect in each session. The long-term impact of stimulating the heart rate baroreflex at its resonance frequency includes improved emotional regulation, reduced sympathetic dominance, and strengthened vagal tone. These changes occur gradually and require repeated practice, often over several weeks or months. Nonetheless, the immediate amplification of heart rate variability seen in early training sessions serves as a powerful motivator and reinforces the physiological basis for continued engagement in HRV biofeedback interventions. Targeting the vascular tone baroreflex. Targeting the vascular tone baroreflex requires distinct strategies from those used for the heart rate baroreflex due to its slower feedback loop and longer delay. The vascular tone baroreflex primarily regulates blood vessel diameter and systemic vascular resistance. It operates with a delay of approximately 15 seconds, corresponding to a resonance frequency of about 2 cycles per minute. Unlike the heart rate baroreflex, which governs beat-to-beat cardiovascular changes, the vascular tone baroreflex modulates longer-term adjustments in blood pressure stability and peripheral vascular tone. Stimulating the vascular tone baroreflex is most effectively achieved through slow-paced contraction at very low frequencies, typically between 1 and 3 cycles per minute. These contractions, often involving the wrists, core, and ankles, must be sustained for several seconds to match the timing demands of this slower reflex. Rhythmic muscle activity at these low frequencies can entrain the vascular tone baroreflex, amplifying oscillations in vascular resistance and baroreflex-mediated blood pressure regulation. Such training is especially beneficial in patients with dysregulated vascular tone or autonomic inflexibility. Experimental findings have demonstrated that slow-paced contractions at 1 or 2 cycles per minute significantly increase time domain, frequency domain, and nonlinear measures of heart rate variability. These include metrics such as HR max min, the RMSSD, LF power, and entropy-based indices. Notably, these effects are achieved without requiring changes to respiratory patterns, making this protocol accessible to individuals who struggle with or are unable to perform slow-paced breathing due to respiratory or metabolic constraints. Comparative studies have further supported the effectiveness of slow-paced contraction protocols for enhancing vascular tone regulation. For instance, wrist-core-ankle contraction performed with legs crossed has been shown to yield greater improvements in HR maximum amplitude and low-frequency HRV power than simpler wrist-ankle contraction alone. These findings suggest that involving more muscle groups may contribute to greater autonomic engagement and baroreflex activation. Additionally, cross-leg positioning may influence venous return, further enhancing baroreflex responsiveness. The importance of matching the contraction frequency to the baroreflex resonance frequency cannot be overstated. When clients perform slow-paced contraction outside the optimal frequency range, the vascular tone baroreflex is insufficiently stimulated, resulting in diminished HRV gains and muted cardiovascular oscillations. Therefore, clinicians must guide clients carefully through these protocols, ensuring precision in pacing and technique. Visual feedback tools and artifact-corrected data analysis can help refine the intervention and confirm baroreflex engagement. Long-term engagement with vascular tone baroreflex protocols can lead to sustained improvements in autonomic regulation and vascular health. These effects include improved baroreflex sensitivity, reduced blood pressure variability, and greater resilience to orthostatic or emotional stressors. Like the heart rate baroreflex, the vascular tone baroreflex benefits from repeated, consistent training over weeks to months. Together, these parallel systems offer powerful, synergistic targets for clinical intervention in HRV biofeedback programs. Equipment for resonance frequency assessment using slow-paced breathing. Accurate assessment of resonance frequency using slow-paced breathing requires reliable monitoring of both cardiac and respiratory signals. The primary cardiac monitoring tools are electrocardiography, ECG, and photoplethysmography, PPG. ECG measures the electrical activity of the heart and provides precise detection of the R spikes used to calculate interbeat intervals. This method is considered the gold standard due to its robustness under various physiological conditions and minimal susceptibility to movement artifacts. PPG, while useful and more accessible, measures peripheral blood volume changes and is more sensitive to sympathetic tone and vasoconstriction, which can compromise signal integrity, especially during slow-paced breathing. Clinicians should prioritize ECG-based systems when conducting formal resonance frequency assessments or clinical research. Wrist-mounted ECG sensors, such as the Polar H10, are convenient and offer acceptable data quality when properly placed on the chest. However, the precision of three-lead ECG systems is superior and is recommended when the goal is to obtain publishable or diagnostically critical data. In clinical settings where an ECG is not available, PPG sensors placed on the earlobe may be preferable to finger placements due to their reduced susceptibility to artifacts. Regardless of the method, continuous real-time display of heart rate waveforms is necessary for confirming pacing accuracy and identifying artifacts. The respiratory component of resonance frequency assessment requires a respirometer, a flexible sensor band placed around the thorax or abdomen that captures respiratory motion. The respirometer waveform confirms that clients are breathing at the prescribed rate and reveals dysfunctional breathing patterns such as breath holding or overbreathing. These patterns can introduce significant artifacts in HRV data and must be addressed before valid resonance frequency determination is possible. Without a respirometer, there is no direct feedback on respiration rate or pattern, which can lead to potentially inaccurate assessments. Respiratory pacing displays, such as those used in Optimal HRV and Biograph Infinity software, guide clients through breathing trials at decreasing frequencies, e.g., from 6.5 to 4.5 breaths per minute. However, these displays do not confirm actual breathing behavior. Research shows that clients frequently deviate from target pacing rates, especially when breathing at rates slower than their typical rate. A respirometer enables clinicians to verify adherence and repeat trials that deviate by more than 0.25 breaths per minute, thereby ensuring precision in calculating the resonance frequency. This capability is essential for achieving the intended resonance effects. In addition to its role in confirming breathing rates, the respirometer helps identify dysfunctional patterns that may need correction before proceeding with the assessment. Clients with asthma, anxiety disorders, or chronic pain often exhibit rapid or erratic breathing that prevents accurate resonance frequency determination. Clinicians should begin each assessment session with a breathing evaluation and, if necessary, delay the resonance frequency protocol until the client can comfortably breathe between 4.5 and 6.5 breaths per minute. This preparatory step significantly increases the likelihood of successful HRV biofeedback training. The combined use of ECG or PPG with a respirometer provides the most accurate and comprehensive method for resonance frequency assessment using slow-paced breathing. These tools enable real-time monitoring of physiological parameters, artifact identification, confirmation of pacing accuracy, and detection of respiratory irregularities. Their integration into biofeedback systems elevates both the reliability and clinical utility of HRV training. For both clinical effectiveness and research integrity, this instrumentation standard should be considered best practice. Measuring the resonance frequency without a respirometer. While a respirometer is the preferred tool for monitoring respiration during resonance frequency assessment, some clinicians and clients may opt for methods that exclude it due to cost, availability, or ease of use. In these cases, visual pacing displays combined with PPG or ECG sensors can still provide a means of estimating the resonance frequency. Mobile applications such as Optimal HRV have popularized this approach by guiding users through a series of breathing trials while collecting heart rate data via a compatible sensor. The software then uses weighted criteria such as the RMSSD, HR MaxMin, and low frequency power to calculate the estimated resonance frequency. Despite its accessibility, this method introduces multiple limitations. The primary concern is the inability to confirm the client's actual breathing rate during each trial. Without a respirometer, it is impossible to verify that the client accurately followed the animated pacing display. Research has shown that even when clients intend to breathe at a target rate, their actual respiratory rate may deviate significantly. This discrepancy undermines the accuracy of the resonance frequency calculation and may result in suboptimal training protocols. Artifact correction is another area of concern. Many consumer-grade apps and devices do not perform adequate artifact detection and correction on interbeat interval data. Missed or extra beats can severely distort HRV metrics and bias the selection of the resonance frequency. This risk is especially high in populations prone to movement or physiological irregularities, such as individuals with anxiety or cardiovascular conditions. Therefore, clinicians should be cautious when interpreting resonance frequency values derived from unverified data. Best practices for using mobile applications without a respirometer include providing clients with 1 to 2 weeks of slow-paced breathing practice before assessment. This preparation period helps clients learn to follow the pacing display more accurately. Clinicians should also educate clients on how to minimize artifacts, such as avoiding movement, ensuring good sensor contact, and practicing in a quiet, comfortable environment. When possible, follow-up assessments using more comprehensive instrumentation should be conducted to confirm initial findings. One approach to improve reliability in the absence of a respirometer is to perform a verification trial at the next session. This involves guiding the client through 3 descending trials at resonance frequency plus 0.5, resonance frequency, and resonance frequency minus 0.5 breaths per minute. This mini protocol allows for comparison across pacing rates and helps identify the most consistent and effective frequency for producing resonance effects. Artifact data from these trials can provide a more accurate estimate and validate or adjust the initial app-based determination. In summary, while resonance frequency can be estimated without a respirometer using apps and visual pacing, this method is best considered a preliminary step. For clinical applications where accuracy is paramount, follow-up assessment using ECG and respirometer instrumentation remains essential. Clinicians using app-based methods should do so with full awareness of their limitations and incorporate additional validation steps to ensure the integrity of resonance frequency-based HRV training. Cautions for resonance frequency assessment using smartphone applications. Smartphone applications have brought heart rate variability biofeedback and resonance frequency assessment to a broader audience, thereby increasing accessibility for both clients and practitioners. These tools often integrate animated breathing pacers and wearable PPG sensors, streamlining the assessment process. However, despite their advantages, significant limitations must be considered when using these applications in clinical or research contexts. These include concerns related to data quality, user compliance, artifact detection, and the absence of respiration monitoring, all of which may reduce the reliability of resonance frequency estimation. One of the most pressing concerns is that many smartphone applications do not artifact interbeat interval data. Without the identification and correction of missed or spurious beats, HRV metrics used to determine resonance frequency may be significantly distorted. This issue is particularly relevant when using PPG sensors, which are highly susceptible to movement artifacts, poor skin contact, and peripheral vasoconstriction. Such distortions can lead to an erroneous selection of a resonance frequency, compromising the effectiveness of the training protocol and potentially leading to user frustration or dropout. Additionally, The inability of these applications to accurately confirm the user's breathing rate during assessment trials further complicates matters. Clients may believe they are following the pacing display, but empirical studies have shown that there are frequent deviations from target rates. Without a respirometer or equivalent tool to verify breathing rate, the calculated resonance frequency may not correspond to the physiological conditions required for resonance. Inaccurate pacing undermines both the validity of the assessment and the subsequent effectiveness of HRV biofeedback training. To mitigate these concerns, clinicians are encouraged to provide their clients with at least 1 week of preparatory breathing practice before formal resonance frequency assessment using a smartphone application. This practice period should emphasize low and slow breathing, attention to timing, and proper sensor usage. Additionally, clinicians should coach clients to minimize artifacts by remaining still, avoiding talking, and ensuring a quiet, well-regulated environment during the assessment. These guidelines help to reduce data contamination and improve the fidelity of resonance frequency estimation. Further, clinicians should verify any resonance frequency determined by a smartphone app in a follow-up session using artifact-corrected ECG and respirometer instrumentation. A brief protocol involving 3 trials at resonance frequency and 0.5 breaths per minute above and below can help identify the frequency that produces the strongest physiological resonance effects. If resonance frequency estimates diverge between sessions, the clinician should select the frequency that yields the most coherent heart rate respiration phase synchrony and the greatest amplitude of heart rate oscillations. In conclusion, while smartphone applications can facilitate the adoption of HRV biofeedback and support preliminary resonance frequency assessment, they cannot substitute for the precision of lab-grade instrumentation. Clinicians must approach app-based assessments with caution and implement safeguards to enhance data accuracy. Whenever possible, practitioners should confirm resonance frequency findings through high-fidelity methods before basing clinical decisions or training protocols on them. In this way, technology can be used to broaden access while maintaining rigorous standards of care. Unanswered questions. Despite advances in resonance frequency assessment protocols, several critical questions remain unanswered. First, it is unclear whether resonance frequency training yields superior outcomes compared to fixed-rate breathing at a rate of 6 breaths per minute. Although some studies have shown greater improvements in mood and systolic blood pressure using individualized resonance frequency training, meta-analytic findings have not consistently supported differential outcomes for systolic or diastolic pressure. The potential benefits of tailoring breathing rate to the resonance frequency may depend on the specific clinical target, necessitating condition-specific research designs to evaluate efficacy more precisely. Dr. Ina Kazan concedes that paced breathing at 6 breaths per minute may produce comparable outcomes if your resonance frequency is 5.5 breaths per minute. However, if your resonance frequency is 3.5 breaths per minute, 6 breaths per minute could yield disappointing results. A second unresolved issue concerns the minimum epoch duration required for a valid determination of the resonance frequency. Most protocols employ 2-minute breathing trials at each frequency. However, it is unknown whether these durations provide equivalent validity compared to 5-minute recordings, particularly for key metrics such as heart rate respiration phase synchrony or HR maxmin. While short-term recordings may offer convenience, no peer-reviewed studies have established the minimum epoch lengths necessary to achieve concurrent validity across all relevant HRV metrics. This knowledge gap limits standardization and may affect the reliability of resonance frequency estimates in both clinical and research contexts. The test-retest reliability of resonance frequency measurements is another important question. Limited studies suggest that resonance frequency is relatively stable over intervals of 1 to 2 weeks. However, granular analysis reveals that many individuals show variation across sessions, raising doubts about the assumption of stability. Factors such as breathing pattern, posture, hydration status, or recent physical activity could influence measurements. More rigorous investigations with representative samples, validated criteria, and controlled protocols are needed to determine whether reassessment should be routinely incorporated into training programs. A fourth question pertains to whether slow-paced muscle contraction can replace slow-paced breathing as a reliable method for determining resonance frequency. Early evidence indicates that slow-paced contraction can elicit baroreflex-mediated oscillations and produce similar HRV effects as breathing-based protocols. However, widespread adoption of this method requires confirmation of its criterion validity, meaning its ability to produce results consistent with established methods. Moreover, the test-retest reliability and long-term training effects of contraction-based resonance frequency protocols remain largely untested. Finally, there is a broader conceptual question about how best to define and measure resonance frequency. Current selection criteria include a mixture of physiological indicators such as maximum peak-to-trough amplitude, phase synchrony, and low-frequency power. However, different criteria may point to different optimal breathing rates for a given individual. The weighting of these indicators lacks standardization, introducing subjectivity into the selection process. Developing consensus-based definitions and empirical guidelines will enhance comparability across studies and facilitate more informed clinical decision-making. Stepped protocols. The stepped resonance frequency protocol, although methodologically robust, presents several challenges, particularly for clients unfamiliar with slow-paced breathing. These protocols require breathing at descending rates, typically in 0.5 breaths per minute intervals, from around 6.5 to 4.5 breaths per minute. Each frequency is typically practiced for 2 minutes, with rest intervals inserted between sessions. However, many clients, especially those with higher baseline respiratory rates, find it difficult to maintain consistent breathing patterns at such slow paces. These difficulties can compromise the accuracy of resonance frequency assessment by introducing variability in respiratory rate and rhythm. A common issue in STEP protocols is inconsistent phase synchrony between respiration and heart rate, even when the client appears to follow the pacing display. Minor variations in inhalation or exhalation timing can disrupt the alignment between respiratory and cardiac oscillations, thereby weakening the resonance effects. This variability undermines key resonance criteria, such as HR max min, LF power, and waveform smoothness. In turn, clinicians may be forced to repeat trials or question the validity of their selected resonance frequency. The reliance on client precision at unfamiliar breathing rates makes this protocol vulnerable to human error. Another complication arises when clients cannot sustain the same respiratory pattern across the full 2-minute trial. Fatigue, distraction, or discomfort may lead to erratic breathing, unintentional hyperventilation, or failure to follow pacer cues. These deviations introduce artifacts in heart rate data, especially if the client's respiratory effort disrupts natural parasympathetic modulation. Without real-time monitoring via a respirometer, these problems may go unnoticed until post-session analysis, resulting in inaccurate or misleading HRV metrics. Additionally, some clients may unconsciously attempt to game the pacing display, forcing themselves to breathe with exaggerated effort rather than easefully matching the rhythm. This strategy often increases sympathetic tone, diminishing the parasympathetic effects that the protocol is intended to enhance. Clients should be coached to breathe naturally, with minimal tension and in a relaxed manner, emphasizing relaxation over performance. Clinicians should monitor for signs of overeffort, such as chest breathing, breath holding, or visible tension, and provide supportive feedback to guide adjustments. For clinical populations such as those with anxiety disorders, chronic pain, or respiratory pathology, the demands of the STEP protocol may be especially burdensome. These individuals often begin training with baseline respiratory rates well above the resonance range, requiring significant training to approximate the target rates. In such cases, it may be advisable to extend preparatory training phases or consider alternative methods, such as slow-paced contraction or sliding protocols, to estimate the resonance frequency with less reliance on volitional respiratory control. Despite these challenges, the STEP protocol remains a valuable tool for identifying the resonance frequency when implemented carefully. Its structured nature allows for systematic exploration of multiple breathing rates, and when paired with artifact correction and respirometer validation, it can yield reliable estimates. Clinicians must remain attentive to pacing accuracy, client comfort, and physiological coherence throughout the process. Tailoring instructions, pacing progression, and session structure to the needs of individual clients can mitigate many of the common difficulties associated with this approach. Sliding protocols. The sliding protocol is an alternative method for assessing the resonance frequency that addresses several of the challenges inherent in the STEP protocol. Instead of presenting discrete breathing trials at fixed rates, the sliding protocol gradually changes the breathing rate over time in a continuous and automated fashion. For example, a client might start breathing at 6.5 breaths per minute, with the rate steadily decreasing to 4.25 breaths per minute over approximately 15 minutes. The pace of change is slow enough that the transition between frequencies is nearly imperceptible, thereby minimizing client awareness and facilitating a smoother physiological adjustment. This method offers several advantages. First, it reduces the burden on clients to switch breathing rates at discrete intervals, which often requires considerable concentration and motor control. The continuous nature of the sliding protocol allows clients to maintain a steady rhythm while their autonomic system is gradually exposed to a range of frequencies. This enhances the ecological validity of the assessment and reduces performance anxiety or conscious interference that can accompany STEP protocols. It also simplifies training for populations with cognitive or attentional limitations. As the breathing rate changes gradually, heart rate data are continuously recorded and analyzed in real time or post-session too. Second, the sliding protocol enables the capture of resonance-related metrics across a broader spectrum of breathing rates with high temporal resolution, allowing for the identification of the frequency associated with the largest peak-to-trough heart rate amplitude or maximum low-frequency power. This allows clinicians to pinpoint the resonance frequency without relying on client feedback or requiring multiple distinct trial periods. The resulting data provide a more continuous and fine-grained profile of autonomic responsiveness. Research by Fisher and Lehrer has demonstrated that the sliding protocol produces resonance frequency estimates that are consistent with those obtained via the STEP method. The mean difference between the two methods was minimal, approximately 0.22 breaths per minute, suggesting strong agreement between the techniques. Importantly, the sliding protocol eliminates the subjective weighting of multiple selection criteria by focusing primarily on peak-to-trough amplitude, which simplifies data interpretation and reduces potential bias in resonance frequency selection. However, the sliding protocol also presents some limitations. It assumes that peak-to-trough amplitude is the best indicator of resonance frequency. In contrast, other important markers such as phase synchrony or waveform smoothness are not considered in the final decision. Additionally, its implementation requires software capable of dynamically adjusting the pacing display and capturing synchronized physiological data. Although open-source software is available, the learning curve for setting up these protocols may be steeper for practitioners unfamiliar with continuous data analysis. Despite these limitations, the sliding protocol represents a significant advancement in the assessment of the resonance frequency. It is particularly well-suited for clients who struggle with the STEP protocol, such as those with anxiety, chronic pain, or respiratory control difficulties. By automating transitions and focusing on a single robust physiological marker, the sliding method streamlines the assessment process while maintaining accuracy. As more software platforms adopt this capability, the sliding protocol may become a preferred option for both initial assessment and follow-up verification of the resonance frequency. Selecting the resonance frequency in STEP and sliding protocols. Choosing the correct resonance frequency following a stepped or sliding protocol requires balancing multiple physiological indicators, none of which may peak simultaneously. In the stepped protocol, clinicians examine discrete trials at fixed breathing rates, while the sliding protocol provides a continuous dataset across a range of frequencies. Both methods yield several resonance-relevant metrics such as peak-to-trough heart rate amplitude, phase synchrony between respiration and heart rate, low frequency power, and waveform smoothness. However, the resonance frequency that maximizes one of these metrics may not be the same one that optimizes another. This divergence highlights the importance of weighting criteria according to theoretical and clinical priorities. For instance, if the primary training goal is to maximize baroreflex gain and low frequency HRV power, then LF power and heart rate amplitude may be given greater importance. Fisher and Lehrer's work has emphasized this integrative approach, demonstrating that resonance frequency selection often involves clinical judgment. In practice, clinicians must examine patterns across adjacent trials, stepped, or ranges, sliding, to identify which frequency meets multiple criteria acceptably. For example, one frequency may offer slightly less amplitude, but significantly better phase alignment and client comfort. In such cases, the trade-off supports selecting the more coherent, sustainable rate. Alternative methods to find the resonance frequency using M-Wave Pro Plus. The M-Wave Pro Plus offers a simplified method for estimating the resonance frequency, making it a practical tool for clinicians and clients seeking accessible, user-friendly options. This system combines a PPG sensor with an animated visual pacer, guiding clients through a structured set of breathing trials. Each trial typically lasts 2 minutes and covers a range of target breathing rates, such as 7.0 to 4.0 breaths per minute in 0.5 breaths per minute steps. The system emphasizes longer exhalation times compared to inhalation, aiming to enhance parasympathetic activation and maximize HRV. One of the benefits of the M-Wave Pro Plus approach is its automation. The software collects HRV data in real time and calculates key metrics, including the RMSSD, HR Maxmin, and low frequency power. These metrics are then used to determine the optimal resonance frequency based on a weighted scoring system. The system prioritizes LF power as the dominant criterion, reflecting the theoretical foundation that resonance is most effectively captured in this frequency band. While this automation simplifies decision-making, it also limits clinician discretion in adjusting pacing protocols based on observed data or client feedback. A key limitation of this approach is the absence of a respirometer, which prevents verification of the client's actual breathing rate. Without real-time respiratory data, the clinician cannot confirm whether the client adhered to the pacing instructions. This omission reduces the reliability of the assessment, particularly when clients struggle to match the pacing display. Despite clear visual guidance, many individuals inadvertently breathe too quickly or inconsistently, especially at the lower end of the resonance range. This can result in the selection of a suboptimal breathing rate for training. Clinicians can mitigate this issue by pairing the M-Wave Pro Plus with careful client instruction and observation. Encouraging clients to rehearse each pacing rate before the formal assessment may improve adherence. Additionally, clinicians should emphasize easy, shallow breathing with longer exhalations, aligning with the principles of resonance frequency. Post-assessment debriefing allows clinicians to identify any trials where clients deviated from the expected pace and repeat those intervals as necessary. These safeguards enhance the interpretive value of the automated report. Despite its drawbacks, the M-Wave Pro Plus system remains a valuable tool in clinical and home-based settings. Its intuitive interface, visual feedback, and straightforward protocols facilitate engagement and compliance, especially among novice users. When used with appropriate caution and verification, it can serve as a useful adjunct to more comprehensive resonance frequency assessment protocols. Moreover, its portability and low learning curve make it an attractive option for large-scale implementations or remote monitoring. In summary, the M-Wave Pro Plus provides a pragmatic entry point for resonance frequency assessment, particularly when combined with complementary practices that mitigate its limitations. While it lacks the precision of ECG and respirometer-based systems, it enables broader dissemination of HRV biofeedback techniques. With informed use, it can contribute meaningfully to the identification of effective breathing rates and the delivery of resonance-based interventions. Can the coherence score identify the resonance frequency? The coherence score, calculated by the Institute of Heart Math software, is designed to reflect the synchronization between respiratory and cardiovascular rhythms. While it is often used as a marker of physiological balance during training sessions, its utility as a standalone method for determining the resonance frequency is limited. Coherence scores are typically derived from a combination of amplitude and frequency measures, often emphasizing the proportion of HRV power concentrated around 0.1 Hz. However, relying solely on coherence may oversimplify the complex dynamics involved in identifying true resonance effects. One major limitation of the coherence score is that it may produce misleadingly high values at non-resonant breathing rates. This can occur when clients breathe consistently at a fixed rate, even if that rate is not their optimal resonance frequency, resulting in high coherence due to the regularity of the waveform rather than the amplification of resonance-specific physiological responses. In some cases, the highest coherence score may be associated with a lower peak-to-trough amplitude, reduced phase synchrony, or diminished low-frequency power. Thus, coherence may reflect signal smoothness more than resonance optimization. Another issue is that coherence algorithms often fail to incorporate key physiological metrics used in validated resonance frequency protocols. For example, they typically do not account for precise heart rate respiration phase alignment or compare breathing rates across a range of trials. Without these comparative data, the coherence score may prioritize regularity over resonance, potentially leading clinicians to select a breathing rate that is easier to maintain but less effective for stimulating baroreflex function and enhancing HRV. Empirical analyses of coherence scores reveal that they may lack sensitivity in detecting subtle differences between closely spaced breathing rates. For instance, two trials, one at 5.5 breaths per minute and another at 5.0, may yield similar coherence scores, despite significant differences in heart rate amplitude or LF power. As such, selecting a resonance frequency based solely on coherence could result in overlooking the optimal rate. A multidimensional analysis of resonance criteria provides a more reliable approach to fine-tuning breathing protocols. Coherence scores may still play a useful role as part of a broader assessment strategy. When used in conjunction with other validated metrics, such as RMSSD, HR MaxMin, in spectral power analysis, coherence can provide additional insight into waveform quality and training stability. It may also serve as a helpful engagement metric for clients, providing visual feedback that reinforces regular breathing and encourages continued practice. However, it should not be the primary or sole criterion for determining the resonance frequency. In conclusion, coherence scores can supplement but not replace comprehensive resonance frequency assessment protocols. They are best interpreted as one component within a multifactorial evaluation process, rather than a definitive measure. For clinicians aiming to identify the most effective breathing rate for HRV biofeedback, integrating coherence with physiologically grounded metrics ensures a more accurate and individualized training regimen. How to fine-tune the resonance frequency. Fine-tuning the resonance frequency is an essential step in optimizing HRV biofeedback outcomes. After identifying a candidate resonance frequency, clinicians should verify its effectiveness through comparative trials. These trials involve guiding the client through three separate conditions: breathing at the estimated resonance frequency, at 0.5 breaths per minute above, and at 0.5 breaths per minute below. Each trial typically lasts 3 to 5 minutes and is conducted in a quiet, controlled environment to minimize artifacts and distractions. The client's physiological data, especially heart rate respiration phase synchrony, HR MaxMin, and LF power, are then analyzed to determine which condition yields the clearest and strongest resonance effects. Clients often report varying subjective comfort across different pacing rates, which can influence their engagement and long-term adherence to training. While the physiological data guide the primary decision, clinicians should also consider the client's ease of breathing and perceived control at each pacing rate. Discomfort or difficulty in following the pacing display, especially at the lower end of the breathing range, may compromise outcomes by increasing sympathetic activation. Therefore, the final selection should strike a balance between optimal physiological amplification and subjective ease, ensuring sustained practice. It is equally important to check for signs of overbreathing during these comparative trials. Symptoms such as dizziness, tingling, or anxiety may indicate excessive CO2 loss, which should be addressed by encouraging shallower and smoother breathing. Monitoring respiratory patterns using a respirometer helps detect such issues early, allowing the clinician to adjust instructions or pacing to promote safe and effective practice. Clients should be educated about the signs of overbreathing and coached in techniques to self-correct. Manual artifacting of each trial is a best practice, particularly when using ECG or PPG sensors. Even a single missed or spurious beat can significantly distort HRV metrics and obscure the resonance effects. Artifact correction ensures that the data used to fine-tune the resonance frequency are valid and reliable. This step is especially critical in the presence of client movement, poor sensor contact, or arrhythmias, which can compromise signal quality and accuracy. Investing time in this analysis pays off by improving the precision of the final resonance frequency selection. The fine-tuning process should be repeated periodically, especially in clients undergoing significant physiological or psychological changes. For instance, improvements in respiratory function, reductions in anxiety, or changes in fitness levels may cause a slight shift in the resonance frequency. Repeating the tuning protocol after several weeks of training ensures that the breathing rate continues to reflect the client's evolving autonomic profile. This adaptive approach supports long-term effectiveness and reflects best practices in individualized biofeedback. Ultimately, fine-tuning the resonance frequency bridges the gap between standardized protocols and personalized intervention. By comparing resonance effects across adjacent breathing rates, clinicians can identify the most effective and sustainable pacing strategy for each client. This process maximizes physiological benefits, enhances client comfort, and increases adherence, making it a cornerstone of advanced HRV biofeedback practice. In sum, the continued development and refinement of resonance frequency assessment requires answers to methodological, technical, and conceptual questions. Addressing these gaps through systematic research will strengthen the evidence base, improve protocol standardization, and optimize the use of resonance frequency in both clinical and applied psychophysiological settings. Conclusion: the assessment and application of the resonance frequency in HRV biofeedback is a nuanced process grounded in the principles of feedback physiology and resonance physics. Across the various sections of this review, it is evident that multiple approaches ranging from slow-paced breathing and slow-paced contraction to stepped and sliding protocols offer valid strategies for stimulating the heart rate and baroreflexes of the vascular tone. Each method has distinct advantages and limitations, depending on the individual's physiological characteristics and the clinical context in which the assessment is performed. The resonance frequency is not a fixed, universal constant, but rather an individualized property of a person's autonomic nervous system. Identifying this frequency with precision requires careful pacing, validated instrumentation, and the interpretation of multiple metrics, such as peak-to-trough heart rate amplitude, phase synchrony, and low-frequency power. While tools such as coherence scores and mobile applications can assist with training and engagement, they should not be used in isolation to determine the optimal breathing rate. The use of a respirometer and artifact-corrected ECG data remains essential for accuracy and reproducibility. Clinicians should recognize the role of heart rate and vascular tone baroreflexes in contributing to resonance effects. Engaging each through targeted frequencies using slow-paced breathing or contraction maximizes the therapeutic value of biofeedback interventions. Fine-tuning the resonance frequency and revisiting it periodically ensures that the protocol remains aligned with the client's evolving physiological profile. Individualized pacing, supported by real-time monitoring and validated data interpretation, leads to stronger resonance effects and better outcomes. The evolution of digital tools, including smartphone apps and integrated software platforms, has expanded access to HRV biofeedback. However, these advances must be paired with rigorous training and clinician oversight to maintain scientific and clinical standards. Automated systems may facilitate preliminary assessments, but they cannot replace the expertise required to interpret physiological signals, detect artifacts, and tailor pacing strategies to each individual. Ultimately, resonance frequency assessment represents both an art and a science. It integrates objective measurement with subjective responsiveness, as well as standardized protocols with personalized adaptation. By understanding the underlying mechanisms, leveraging the strengths of diverse tools, and maintaining a commitment to best practices, clinicians can deliver effective HRV biofeedback grounded in precision, efficacy, and client-centered care. In summary, effective resonance frequency assessment requires a multi-method, evidence-informed, and client-responsive approach. It is this combination of rigor, flexibility, and physiological insight that ensures HRV biofeedback delivers on its promise of enhancing autonomic balance, resilience, and well-being.